The scripture today is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 15, and I will be reading from the English Standard Version. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him.
Thank you, Dad. I appreciate that. It's good to know you all are brothers. Are you twins? I didn't know. Glad to see everybody here. It's great to see people coming back. It must be the Cooley Day today. Glad to have all of you here. It's good to see visitors and glad to have them today. And I appreciate Jim's announcement. I'm glad he corrected it. The deposit is $600, not $6,000. And they have $200 a month with utilities. It's different living in other countries. But, again, they also already have 100 of that, and I know you've been a generous people before, and I'm sure you'll be generous again. We are looking at basic lessons, and the comment that Carl made a few weeks ago, we'll talk about the Lord's Supper and many other things, but today's lesson is basic of all. But if you would, before we do that, let's take a songbook and sing the first verse of 523. You don't need a book, probably, there is a God, but if you do the first verse of 523... There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with his great might. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Thank you. That is the basic truth. What a week we've had. Charlotte and Maria both had successful surgeries. Several lately have donated used medical equipment that we have been doing for a long time to take to Ukraine. If you don't know what that's about, talk to me. For our junk is literally somebody else's treasure. And through John Kackelman and several brothers in the Lord, the materials are taken to a warehouse and then shipped overseas, donated by the church and even hospitals and doctors, but then given out by the church on the other side of the ocean in the name of the church to help. If you go to the hospital, things are very different in other countries. You go to the hospital in Ukraine, you get a prescription, your family has to go find it and bring it back to you. You know, so we are richly blessed. Also this week, a gunman shot and killed 8 people at a FedEx facility. Found out later that he worked at that FedEx facility. We'll talk more about that. A man driving the wrong way at the San Antonio airport was confronted by a policeman. The policeman shot and killed him, probably stopping a massive shooting there. This Thursday, an officer just working overtime. And because of that, many lives were changed forever. Just a normal day, people going to the airport, people going to work at FedEx, their life will never be the same because of those events. As we look at our PowerPoint this morning, we often dwell on the negative, and I say, turn off the news. Is that the dog? What kind of flower is this? I know it's a dogwood, right? Yeah, right. But the point is, what do we think about?
The comedians that are very well known have had tremendous tragedy in their life. And it would just probably make you almost cry when you hear some of the things that happened to them. The Bible teaches, what do we think about? Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, think on these things. When I say turn off the news, I'm not saying, oh, we don't need to know what the news is. I'm saying let's not focus on the news. Lovely and gracious Miss Karen talks to me sometimes. She asked me about this passage and said, well, you know, here's Paul talking about godless chatter. I said, well, my professor said some of the most godless chatter he's ever heard was by a bunch of preachers talking to each other about each other. You know, it can be true and still be godless chatter. And sometimes at the point is God is not in it at all. And in that context, we can't control what happens in our lives. We can't control what comes into our mind. You can't control what you think, but you can control what you do with that after it comes into your mind. As someone said, you can't keep the birds from flying overhead, but you can keep them from building a nest in your head, on your hair. And so we live in a world where we're bombarded with all these things, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and they're coming at us day in and day out. And there in that context, what do we think about? What do we dwell on? What is that we go over and over again? I've talked to people in many different situations, and I've seen them in terrible situations, and yet they have joy and peace and great love. And I've talked with some people who will tell me every, and this is, they're already gone now, every time I saw them, their mother passed away and their stepmother was cruel and mean to them, and would get very specific of how badly she treated them. And that was probably 75 years ago from that time she's telling it to me. What will we dwell on? Our second slide, we are reminded that we are blessed. We woke up today blessed. We went to bed blessed. And God has kept us in our care, in His care. We're here alive by the grace of God. We see all these things on news. We forget that in Colossians chapter 1, that not only did Christ create all things, He's involved in making all things. Colossians 1, 17 and 18, He holds all things together by His power. It's not Washington or Moscow or London or the president, or the Congress, or the Supreme Court holding things together. It's not you, it's not me, it's Christ right now. And in this context, God has kept us in His care. Think of how good God has been to you. How many times have you been in very difficult situations? Maybe you've been like some that you thought you were going to die, and you cried out to God for help. Maybe you made some vows to God at that time. Did you keep those vows? Our next slide, I want us to remember the same point about what is good and what is right. Rather than focus on the shooter of Noblesville, Indiana, this is Jason Seaman. He's a teacher at Noblesville, Indiana Middle School. He took 3 bullets this week while swatting the gun out of the shooter's hand. Here's the hero. He's out of surgery and doing well. The news may make the shooter famous, but let's look at the good, as Mr. Rogers says, right, that great theologian. Look at the helpers. Look at the people going into the fire. At our next slide, these boys were out in the parking lot of a high school. Somebody got concerned, called the authorities, and the authorities come out and investigate it. These boys are having a Bible study at the high school, before school, and that's what they're doing. We talk and we concern ourselves and wring our hands about what's happening in our world and what can we do, and we talked in this pulpit about we need to bring God and Christ back into our schools. And one of our young ladies in junior high went to her teacher and asked the teacher if they could start a Bible study club. And the teacher said, yes. And I spoke at several of those meetings here in Chandler at a school. And it reminds me often as I came out of one of those meetings and my phone had blown up because a member who used to live here at a young age had been taken to the hospital. Before I could get to talk to her husband, she had died. We were shocked. One so young, so unexpected, had passed. Here, leaving her husband and her kids. Things happen in our lives that change our lives forever. We cannot undo them. We cannot change them. They're out of our control. There's a lot of things out of our control. The fact that you were born in this century and at this time, And who your parents are completely out of control, unless you're adopted. I know, you know. But again, you had no say-so in that. And things will occur to each one of us that change our lives forever. You like headlines? I like headlines. Sometimes I used to watch the humor of watching headlines and how, like, does somebody read these before they put them out? Maybe you, some of you were alive when this happened. And that day on December 7th, 1941, changed our world forever. And here in this context, there's some good things that happened in headlines. I've been here long enough to remember this. March 10th, 1995, we got a baseball team in Phoenix. This was the day they announced it. It was a great day, from my perspective anyway. And then November 5th, 2001, this was a great day. You remember the World Series? In fact, you all know this day very well. Thousands of lives were changed forever. Some people never came home again after that day. And it's quite natural for us to think that we and all of our family and all of our relatives will live to a ripe old age. And many of us will, but not all of us. Sometimes life will intersect with us and our life will never be the same. And sometimes that's by death. Sometimes it's by the world. Cancel culture is real. I watched a video of last Sunday. The police came with 200 police officers, a barrier, and a helicopter to shut down a church in Canada. I don't know what the future holds. That was last Sunday. Cancel culture is nothing new. The actress that was attacked by Harvey Weinstein worked with them to expose him. She says, that's why I don't get to work in Hollywood anymore. Sometimes our news is put forth in a slanted way to make a point that they want to make. Rush Limbaugh used to joke a long time ago that imagine that God, this was decades ago, he said, imagine God would say the world is over, that the new paper got the headlines, and tomorrow's headline would read, the Chicago Tribune, God says it's over. And he went through several papers, and he said, finally, the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times would say, God says the end is here, women and children hurt the most, victimized the most. We must read critically. That's keep the meat and throw the fish away. Like eating fish. Keep the meat, throw the bones away. Don't believe everything you hear and read. In our next slide, this is Steve Hickenbotham, who's had cancer. He's a preacher, and his mom and dad lived in West Virginia. His dad preached for 63 years in the same congregation in Chester, West Virginia. His dad is preaching a meeting, and so they sent him a postcard. His mom writes first, sending a note, a Civil War postcard of West Virginia, the Philippi Bridge. In 1979, Rose wrote, hi, Steve. Having a good attendance for the meeting, the preaching, well, you know how that's going. I'll see you soon. Love, Mother. Frank wrote, the father, Mother saw this sign about the Civil War and started one with me. Ha, love, Dad. Everybody has opinions. Our next slide is our plea of Back to the Bible. Of just be a Christian. There's so many churches in the world. How do you pick a church? Do you pick one just based by close to your house? Do you pick one because you like the building? Because you like they're on TV, and we'll talk some about these in a few weeks. Or are you looking for a church that's closest to your house or closest to the Bible? That we want to be just Christians. We don't need a name with them. What were the 12 apostles? There's one of them a Baptist, one a Methodist, one a Catholic, one a Presbyterian. No, they were just Christians. If you take a seed and plant it, you take corn, you get corn. You take watermelon, you get watermelon. If you take the Bible, which is the seed, the Word of God, and you plant it, you get just a Christian in the heart. We just want to go back to the Bible. Not what men say, not what people think, not the tradition of the church, not what the official position of this church is. What did Jesus Christ say who gave his life on the cross? What does the Bible teach about how one gets into Christ? What does the Bible teach about the end of the world? What does the Bible teach about how we should live our lives? And in that context, we just want to be Christians. Our next slide reminds us of the spiritual truth that no one will love you like Jesus. No one. But even with that love, as we look at today's topic, That love will not stop people from going to hell. Every day as we go to church, we see people out walking, riding. They're not lost because they're out walking and riding. They're lost because they don't have a relationship with Jesus. People who are in church may be lost, not because they're in church, but because they don't have a relationship with Jesus. People in church who are saved, or those who are home and too sick to come, are saved not because they're at home, but because of Jesus Christ, as we looked in the class. Jesus himself says, although he loves us, wide is the gate that goes to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it. This is the one who gave his life and sacrificed his life on the cross, and he understood not everybody's going to take advantage of that. Although he loved them, he didn't say, well, do whatever you want, it doesn't matter, I'll bring you all to heaven. No, he doesn't say that at all. Our next slide reminds us of the truth. If you've lived a while, you see how true this is, of James 4:14. Our life is a vapor that goes quickly. Well, we were 16 just yesterday, right? Our last slide reminds us when our life is over, Jesus comes first. The only real thing that will matter. We spend a lot of time and a lot of effort on our physical bodies. We spend a lot of time on this world. But the real point of our life will be, is our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the only thing that will matter. Great sermon last week by Ryan about heaven, and we're looking today about the second coming. Basic biblical principle. You don't get more basic than this one. Jesus came the first time to die on a cross. He will come again to take those prepared to live with him forever and to punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. Don't take my word for it. Look it in your Bible. Take some of the materials on the back. See what Jesus Christ said about Judgment Day. There will be a Judgment Day. Gary Walters and I were talking the other day about Alzheimer's is a terrible disease, and I don't know how it will all work out, but the brain is such a marvelous thing, and maybe, you know, we talk about people with Alzheimer's and they can just quote scripture. Somebody else this week was talking about this person had Alzheimer's, but if you just started a sermon, started a scripture, she could quote the rest of the chapter. Now, the only reason she could do that is she put that in her mind while she was still able to think, process. I've seen facilities where you go in, here's a person that doesn't know what day it is, doesn't know their name, but can play the piano and play hymns just from memory. And so those memories are built into our minds that they might talk about 1930, but don't know what they had for breakfast. Maybe, and who knows, maybe God will be able to touch the brain and all that thing will just come out in Judgment Day. Because the judgment is clear, Jesus is coming, and everything we've ever done and everything we've ever said will be presented before the Lord. We can't control it. We can't hide it. We can't keep it from coming up. I don't know exactly what will take place. Maybe I love the song, I Can Only Imagine. You know, will I be on my knees? Will I be on my face? Will I be able to speak at all? When Jesus comes with his power and his glory and his majesty, you see, when an angel appears in the Bible, people get scared. When Jesus does things, Peter and others, you know, say, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Just the power and the glory of Jesus doing a miracle convicted Peter of his sin. And maybe the power and the glory of God coming and will immediately convince all with their eyes that there is a God in heaven. And Jesus is the Son. As they say, there'll be no atheists in hell. Because there is a day coming, and I have no idea when, that this will happen. All things being equal, they never are. It may not be today. And people, the devil will use this to say, well, you know, listen to the preacher and we're going to have lunch today and it'll be just a normal day. He's not coming today. I have no idea when he's coming. I talked to a mother, it's been over almost 30 years now ago. She's very frustrated about her kids. They were little kids, elementary school. I don't know what to say. I said, well, it's not Judgment Day yet. Those kids have grown and out of the house now. And the point of that was, there's a lot of things you can still do to help raise those children of the Lord, get those children to live and do what's right. But sometimes we get emotionally frustrated. We make decisions that way, as one of the three founders of Apple did. He put some money in Apple, and after a couple of years, he thought, this isn't going anywhere. And so he got, just for a few hundred bucks, he sold his share of Apple, which could have cost him about $50 billion. We make decisions like that emotionally. Oh, God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me. I could never go to heaven. God must be too frustrated with me. No, that's not true. No one will love you like Jesus. He wants to help you with the greatest needs of your life, your sin, and to help you with death. But the Bible is quite clear that Jesus will come again. He came the first time. He was the one who spoke the most about this. I will come again. And here in the context, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, as he ascended just in front of them, angels appeared and said, "Why stare you up into heaven? This Jesus, this same Jesus whom you've seen, will return in like manner." Or maybe if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, how long will it be? There won't be a notification in the paper so they can print it tomorrow. Paul says in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, how fast can you bat your eyelash? That's how quick it will be. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to a group of people who believe, and we're funny people, human beings. They believe that Jesus dies and rose from the dead, but their relatives have died and they're getting worried. What if Jesus comes and they miss out? So Paul writes this chapter, verse 13, he says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who fall asleep." It's the Bible's favorite way of talking about death. It's a great way to understand death. You fell asleep last night, you got up this morning. And that's what the Bible is describing death is like. He writes to this church that they're not going to miss out on the resurrection. He says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." They're not going to be gone. They're going to be the first ones up on resurrection morning. So what does he say? Well, there'll be a loud command. The voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. What will the archangel say? I have no idea. Maybe it'll be the same command that Jesus gave for Lazarus to come out of the grave. For we will see, if we're alive at the time, perhaps in a split second, all the dead in Christ rising to meet him in the air. And then we too, who are alive, will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. We will all be there. Doesn't matter if you believe it or don't believe it. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Everyone's going to be there. Here in the same point, Jesus says in John 5, 28 to 29, he prophesies. It tells us the truth about that day. "Do not be amazed at this, for time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who've done good will rise to live, and those who've done evil will rise to be condemned." There is a day in which we'll all, if we pass from this life, be raised to life. We've talked before about those who passed on in life and now died, but they're not gone forever. That Jesus said, God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. He mentions Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they're alive right now in the next world. Paul, describing the great truths of heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reminds the Christians of the great hope that we walk by faith. And then he says this thing in chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. "We make it our goal to please him." Talking about God, Christ, "whether at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad." I've been in places where people just jumped up suddenly and thought, "Oh, I forgot I'm supposed to be so-and-so." It's a lot of appointments we miss, totally forget, maybe we're late for. We won't miss this one. We must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's a divine must. And there in that context, in the great book of Revelation, John describes the truth to a church who's being persecuted, put to death, that God will take care of the wicked on judgment day. If you do watch the news, you do read the papers, you do see, remember, rarely is the will of God done today on the earth. We're all hurling toward eternity. And we have the will of God. And Jesus prayed that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For the will of God is clearly done in heaven, rarely done on earth. We have the will of Satan, who will lie and deceive and do anything he can to get people to go to hell. And then we have the will of man. And we see the will of man in the news every day, in shootings, in evil things, in good things. Paul reminds the church in the first century, John reminds the church in the first century, Revelation 20, 11 to 14. And I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence. There was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. The death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So from these scriptures and from this experience, we'll see that Jesus is coming back. So we might ask, what will we see? What will I experience? What will we take place? It'll be a normal day. The 101 will be backed up. Traffic on Alma School will probably have an accident. You may be stopping to get a cup of coffee. I don't know what time of day. We now know more than they did in Jesus' day. For we now know, that Jesus says, it might come any hour of the day. We know there are different hours all around the world. So it may be noon here, you know, earlier on the Pacific coast, earlier on the West, East Coast. But it'll be a normal day. We won't read about it in the paper. You won't hear about it from all these different TV preachers. In fact, there'll be people getting married, people having a funeral, people going to work. We'll be shocked, stunned. And then there'll be a loud command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And just like that, it's all over. Your life and my life will never be the same. For life and time, life will continue, but time will stop. And we will see Jesus Christ with our own eyes. And the scripture says, he will come with holy, mighty, powerful angels to judge every person. And the small and great will be there. Every person you've ever read about in history will be there. I don't know how we'll know who they are. I think that's just part of what God's going to do. You know, hi, I'm George Washington. I don't know what he's going to do. But you'll see them. Peter, Paul, every one of them. And there in that context, we will stand before Christ to give account of our lives. I have no idea when that will be. It's been over 2,000 years since the first century thought he would come in their lifetime. It could just as easily be another 2,000 years. Jesus Christ himself says he doesn't know in Matthew 24. About that day at Matthew 25, about that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son, but only the Father. Scriptures also teach that God is patient, not willing that any should perish. And the reason he hasn't come yet is so that more people could be saved. But it's an awesome thing, as Daniel Webster said, to consider giving account of ourselves to God. In a social gathering several hundred years ago, he made that statement, said, now let's go to our rooms and think about that event. This is a basic Bible doctrine. In the 1970s, a famous man, Francis Schaeffer, wrote a book and talked about all these truths and said, then how shall we live? And that's what our reading said this morning. Peter said, don't forget this. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Because it's true that we will be there, that should affect how we live our lives. God gives us a chance to get it right with God. And just like a lot of us, we have to come back and say, I need to do this again. Get back on the right path. And he's willing to forgive us until we get it right. That's how God changes behavior with forgiveness. He cleanses us of our past, gives us a direction to walk in the future. And then daily we try to do it. And repentance is daily. And that's how we can change as we should into the image of Christ. Because one day, we will all see him as he is. And the Bible says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will be like him. The power that brought us out of the baptismal waters and the same power that brought Jesus out of the grave changed our lives forever spiritually and cleansed our past sins. That's the power that can bring us out of the grave and will give us a new body to stand before Jesus Christ. The lesson is yours. You've done very well. But the application is for all of us. We're going to be there. Be ready. But as we saw in the Revelation series, Dr. North said, be there, describing about what happened with Pete Maravich. This is why we offer the invitation to every service. We can't read hearts. But the Hebrew writer says, your heart and my heart is naked and laid bare before him with whom we have to do. Quite an interesting description. Him with whom we have to do. The only logical thing to do is to get ready, believe the word of God, and that way we're ready to meet him, whatever that is. The invitation is yours because Christ loves you enough to try to help you with your sin problem. We must believe what we hear about the words of God, that God will forgive my sin if I do what he says. We must believe as a Christian that he can still forgive our sins, just like when we came to him the first time. And although we do different things than when we came to him the first time, he still has the power to wash our sins away. Do we believe enough to obey? Well, that question we will all answer. If you need to come to Christ and you've never put him on, never come into union with Christ, you won't get a better offer. If you've walked away from God for whatever reason, you ran away from God, you got into something you didn't think you would, and you're wondering, would God forgive me? Jesus himself encourages us to come home, the story of the prodigal son. It's a public response you need to make today to get right with God. Why don't you come as we stand and sing? There's a